All right, if you would, turn in your Bibles today to, it's a story about the feeding of 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14 and beginning at verse 13. Some of you are wishing you were children that you could have gone down here and gotten lots of treats afterwards, aren't you? Yeah. Matthew 14, and beginning here at verse 13. All right. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Say that better. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. I want to key on the word and the phrasing here of compassion. And where it says that when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Another version says that he's filled with compassion over these persons. Filled with compassion. I want to talk to you that compassion is closely tied in to love. Compassion is a part of what love is. So that compassion is a characteristic trait in which Jesus displays compassion for those who he sees and hears. And if you have love, then you also are filled with compassion as well. And it is a trait that we should develop and grow to have compassion for others. Now, y'all see commercials, I'm sure, all the time. Those ASPCA commercials, the ones with the animals and such. And you see animals that are shivering in the cold. And you see them without a leg or with an eye missing. Yeah, all these sounds gross, I know. And they show you those scenes because they want you to be filled with compassion for those animals. And guess what? I am. I'm filled with compassion. I hate that all those animals are going through that terrible, terrible plight. And whether it's cats or rabbits or dogs or whatever, you see those things and you're filled with compassion. Hey, so much so that we have 2 animals in our house, 2 cats, because my family was filled with compassion, even though I said no, no, no. We have a cat from Ingles from 6 years ago. Who was freezing and under their car late at night at Ingles, and next thing I know, there's a cat in our house. And I go, no, no, no.
You love the cat.
Yeah, it's my cat now. And then just this past year at Vacation Bible School, none of y'all picked up the cat that was out here. And so guess who has that cat now? That I said, no, no, no. We can't have another cat. It's in our house, and I call it my cat now. Amy tries to say it's her cat, but it's really my cat. Now, we can't save 1,000 cats, can we? Or 100 cats or 100 dogs. You can only do a little bit of what you can do. It's kind of like the guy going down the seashore, and he's picking up starfish, and he's throwing them into the ocean, and there's a billion of them there. And the guy next to him said, you know, they're all going to die, you know. And it says, it's pointless for you to help that one out. And he says, he goes, well, it matters to this one. It matters to this one. And that's what makes sense. We can do certain things, can't we, that it matters to this one. Years ago, they may still do this in Atlanta news stations, but they used to have a thing called Wednesday's Child. Y'all remember that? Where they put on TV a child that, or children whose parents have died, or who have been abandoned by their family, or some tragedy has taken place. And unless someone steps up and shows compassion and provides a home to be a forever parent, they are still kind of searching for someone to be a true parent who loves them, and parents who love them and will teach them and provide them a bed to sleep in and meals to eat and hugs, and on it goes. Now, that tears at my heartstrings a whole lot more than the animals. I mean, I love animals. I want them to... You know, I started to think, if the world were truly following after Jesus the way we should, you wouldn't have abused animals and neglected animals. You wouldn't have abused children and neglected children. There's not going to be a place like that in heaven, is there? It's not going to be that way. That's what we're hoping for. That's why we're filled with faith. And see, that's just it. Faith itself is our hope for what God has promised will come to fruition, will be true. And just like you and other churches in this district and in this conference and other denominations, who stepped up? Who has probably stepped up more than any other group? I believe the church has stepped up more than any other group to show compassion to people who have endured this past hurricanes. The church has stepped up. People who are people of faith have stepped up. Jessica, you went a day with Samaritan's Purse. You stepped up. You stepped up. We stepped up and gave money and gave resources because we are the church, and that God has shown compassion and has caused us to show compassion to our neighbor as well, even to people we may never see or meet. Jesus does not let past performances from others determine his future action. You see, there's two things that have taken place in this story prior to Jesus doing this miraculous healing and feeding of 5,000 plus. There is the story where John the Baptist is just beheaded. And Jesus has learned of this. And now Jesus could say, well, they've done this terrible thing. Let me just get angry. Let me get upset with my good friend and relative, John the Baptist. Let me just get upset and angry, and let me just show anger and hatred to those that have done so. Let me withhold my compassion and his love. But no, he does just the opposite, doesn't he? He is previously in Nazareth, where he grew up, and where people have said nothing good comes out of Nazareth. It's a terrible place. It's a poor place. It's a place where people have felt rejected from other towns that's in Nazareth. And in Nazareth, people point to Jesus and go, hey, we know your sisters and your brother. We know your parents. And they reject him. On the whole, they reject him. It says this, but Jesus said to them, in the people of Nazareth, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It wasn't that they had the lack of belief that Jesus could perform miracles. No, they'd seen. They knew. They even saw that Jesus performed miracles while they were there. What they lacked faith in was describing Jesus and believing that he is indeed the Son of God. You see, they wanted just to see him as Mary's boy. Aren't you such and such brother? And aren't these your sisters and brothers and your cousins? We know you. Didn't you scrape your knee when you were a little boy? They didn't want to see him as Son of God. That's where they were lacking. Jesus could have taken all that and just felt the hurt from his own hometown, how they had rejected him. And he could have said, well, let me just give up and not show compassion anymore because I know how people are going to act. Do you have those feelings? Do you ever have people that hurt you? Maybe you've shared a cup of water to your neighbor. Maybe you've done a good deed to another person and you didn't get the warm feelings back. Did that cause you then to just give up and say, well, let me just callous my heart? You know, it'd be so easy for all of us here to have calloused hearts, wouldn't it? And let us reject having compassion. But God displayed. He did not let his heart, his spirit, he did not let his being be calloused by the hurt and the harms and the words that would come his way. Instead, he shows an abundance of compassion instead. And that is what we should do. In letting our love develop and grow, an aspect of that is showing compassion to those around us. Jesus left Nazareth. Jesus heard about John the Baptist being beheaded. Yet in this story we see his response to an evil and fallen world shouldn't be condemnation and ignorance, but it should be to respond with compassion in ways that God has equipped us. Didn't put my notes back in order from the last sermon. Hey, I can laugh at myself, so that's good. If Jesus had let those things shape his life, we would not have seen this scene of the healing and of the feeding of 5,000. Let me just say this. The feeding of 5,000 really isn't 5,000 people, because it tells us that the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So now let's start adding up. If we understand there's about 5,000 men, we can reason. This is a good way in which we reason and use our mind. We can reason that there's another 5,000 women. And then we can reason that there's probably 2, 3, and 4 children in some of those households. And there's single men and there's single women and widowers and children. So we can assume that there's a population present of about 20,000. So imagine the county that we live in, everybody gathered on this place here, gathered around, pitching tents and so forth and so forth, and all 20,000 are here. That's what Jesus has encountered, who are wanting to follow him, who are wanting and desperately in need of healing. There's lame people around. There's those who are blind. There are those who are near death's door. There are those with leprosy. There are those who are sick with all sorts of sicknesses that are taking place. And he is there. And his response is not to withhold compassion and love, but it is to extend compassion and love through healing and the feeding of these 20,000 plus. You know, 5,000 seems like a lot, but 20,000 seems even greater, doesn't it? Let me just say this about compassion. Compassion is as well something that we should be about doing. It's about opening our eyes to see those who are truly on the periphery, who truly need to see and hear the comforting words of God, the acts of God's kindness. And let me just say this. The death knell of a church is one who only looks inward. Only looks inward. See, God has given us compassion to be in service to our community and to the lost. To one another, yes. But we must be looking outward. That is the fruit of the Spirit that God is giving to us, to have compassion on our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as brothers and sisters to be in Christ who are not yet believers. To be poured out with compassion is a necessary instrument of the church. And to not do so is the beginning of a death knell for a church. So we must always attune our hearts to be filled with compassion. It's important. Amy and I were driving from Athens one day. We drive more to Athens than anywhere. I know some of you drive to Greenwood and to Anderson. We don't go that direction as much as we go toward Athens from where we live. And one day we were coming back from Athens, and Amy had her phone in front of her.
Shush.
She had her phone in front of her. And so I noticed, you know where that 10-second light is? There at the end of the bypass going toward Athens, that new road, we call it a 10-second light. It might be a 5-second light. Sometimes you can see the light turn twice as you're driving and approach it. I'm exaggerating. Huh? Is that called Comer? Y'all know Comer then, right? Okay, that area. I still get all those towns a little confused. But anyways, I noticed as we were coming back from Athens, there was a car on the side of the road. And there was a family outside the car, I'd noticed. And then about 200 yards away, up that hill, toward the top of the hill, I notice a man walking. I pull over. Amy goes, "What are you stopping for?" I said, "There was a car broken down right there. I'm pretty sure this is the man that is with that car." Lo and behold, he was. And so we picked him up, and I carried him on into the town of Comer and to the gas station there. He didn't need gas. What had happened is his radiator was messed up, and he just needed to put some antifreeze in it. He got a couple of jars, however you call it, of antifreeze, and I carried him back to his car. And we talked. We had a little conversation as well. And I figured I saved him about two and a half hours worth of walking that it probably would have taken him to have made that complete loop around. Because it wasn't just real close by. Why did I do that? It's because of God's yearning of compassion. Now, I'm not telling you that every time you see somebody on the side of the road, you need to stop and pick them up. Sometimes you need a warning that that might not be the right thing to do. But in this instance, I was able to see a family outside of that car and to see him walking. And just the tug of God said, "Hit the brakes." You know, as I go by him, I hit the brakes and get over into that turn lane. And he comes up. That is our being filled with compassion, folks. Our world needs us to be filled with compassion to do the good things. It is the church that should respond in compassion. The world is going to be selfish. The world is going to think only of itself. Now, there may be decent people out there who will act in decent ways, yes, but they're not doing so in the purpose of Jesus Christ. There is no depth of meaning if it's not done in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus showed compassion. Jesus had compassion, and so should we. He saw how many were sick and who were blind and lame, and he reached out to them and he showed and exhibited compassion. We need to pray for God to give us the eyes to see those around us. He could have just seen the large crowd and just gone and talked to the people he wanted to talk to. But instead, he saw and had compassion. And so this group of 20,000 people, many of them who had come and left their homes, who had left the resources that they had, left the comfort of their town, had gone out to this strange place, and they are following Jesus because they're wanting him to heal them. And they're seeing in this large crowd as Jesus moves through them, or as they come before Jesus, and they're seeing blind people see. They're seeing lame get up and walk. They're seeing ailments that are healed. On and on it goes. And the people just want to stay in that. Y'all remember hearing about the events that took place at Asbury Chapel in Wilmore, Kentucky? Students began this, had a regular worship service. It was nothing different. And one of the students got up and shared, in essence, a testimony and confessing his own sin. And the people just surrounded him in love and compassion. They didn't condemn him. They did as John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." They showed compassion on him, and others began to share their testimony and to share their sin and to pray over those things. And as healing began in that place, and it went on for days and weeks, there were people as far away as New Zealand and Australia who wound up and heard about the events that were taking place, the revival and presence of God that was taking place at Wilmore, Kentucky. And so they came because they were eager. They were eager to see. And so they were filled in that service. The people there, they sang some. They gave testimony some. It was all lay-led. It was student-led. And they sang some more, and they prayed some more. And why did they stay there? Because they just wanted to stay there in the presence of the Lord. They wanted to just be with the Lord in that time and to grow in their faith. That's what happens to these 20,000. They've left all their food behind. They just want to be in the presence of God where He has shown compassion and healed them. And they just want to be there. Now, there's some folks who would say, some scholars who would say, well, what this means is the feeding of the 5,000 and gathering the two fish and the five loaves just means that the people then just showed compassion and they all shared what they had. No. That's not what the scriptures say. Read it. That's not what the scriptures say. God, Jesus, looked to heaven and blessed it, and it was multiplied. God who can heal, surely He can feed the 5,000, the 20,000 here. Surely He can cause it to be multiplied and to go forth. And even if this young boy who had five loaves, let's say there were big loaves, like the bread we use for communion, that cost how much? Like $12 or something, you know? Maybe it was like those big loaves. Maybe it was fish. It could have been as big as a tuna, and it wouldn't have been made a dent, would it? In feeding some 20,000 people. But it's probably like this. It's probably five little rolls. And it was probably like fish the size of sardines. Small. Just a snack. And Jesus multiplied it. Because He was filled with compassion and He was telling the disciples, you give them something to eat. In that saying, He's saying, you be filled with compassion and you feed. You give. He's telling us it's not just Jesus' job to be filled with compassion, it's His disciples' job to be filled with compassion as well. To be the church that God has called you and me to be. People need rescuing. People need compassion shown to them. And it does not mean to show compassion to those whom we deem seem deserving to us. Well, let me show compassion because those folks are deserving. No, it doesn't say that, does it? He was filled with compassion for all the people. And so we too should be filled with compassion. And we shouldn't put a moniker on it of whether they are deserving or not. We should just be filled with compassion. Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, help us to see those in our community around us who need the compassion of God, the compassion that comes from the church. And Lord, may we be a blessing to those around us. Let us not so much seek to be inward, but let us and our witness be to seek those outside these walls. and to be your hands and feet, and to be as a response of your love and compassion. Help us be filled with compassion, and help us to pray for ways in which to grow in compassion. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.